Blog Talk Radio.
You can dig all day and never find the root. You're gonna get dirty, child, digging for the root. If you're looking for an answer, what's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love. Who can fix it? It's forgiveness in the end. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love.
Can't no one know at sunrise when this day is going to end. Can't no one know at sunset if the next day is going to begin. You can be here in the morning, gone by night. You can be here at night and gone in the morning. Can't no one know. Sweet honey in the rock. Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank God for all of you who have come by, and we pray that you will continue to do so. We also want to invite you to go to our Facebook page. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find information about our upcoming events there on the Facebook page. You'll also find the link for the Bible study and the call-in number. The call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate in the Bible study. You'll find that number on the Facebook page. Also, there on the Facebook page, you'll find our Sunday morning service. If you're not able to come to First Baptist, if you're out of the area, you can certainly tune in by Facebook Live. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our services start at 10 a.m. at First Baptist, and you are cordially invited to tune in, if not in person, on Facebook so that you can see the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We invite you to do so. Go to our Facebook page. You'll find more information about First Baptist, what's going on in First Baptist. You'll also find out how you can contribute to the house of God. There are many ways in which you can do that. You can come by the church about in the hours of between the hours of 10 a.m. and 11:30, and you can drop off your tithes and offering. Of course, you can actually come to church. People can actually come to church and bring your tithes and offering. Or you can mail them in. You can go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. And we do have a Cash App to make it convenient for all of you who cannot get out or those of you who live out of the area and you would like to contribute to the house of God. You can do so through Cash App. We do have a Cash App. It starts with a dollar sign, the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of First Baptist tonight. By way of announcement, we want to invite you to a special program on the third Sunday, which is this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. We are having a special program specifically designed for those of us who have lost loved ones over the last few years. It is a program where we could come together and celebrate the life that we have had with our loved ones and the life that we have right now. And we can ask God for kindness and mercy upon us as we go through this life. We know that when we lose someone we love, it can change you irrevocably. And we know that changes in life do happen. There's nothing that we can do about it. But we could certainly encourage one another. And this is what this program is about. It is a community outreach program. Every church ought to do community outreach. Do not go a whole year and do no community outreach in your neighborhood. No church should do that. So we are reaching out to the community for those who would like to come, not just members, but those in the community at large who would like to come and be with us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock. We have a very fine minister, facilitator who will be with us, Dr. Dorothy Waterston from New Zion Baptist Church. She is also a grief counselor, and she has done a lot of work with funeral homes in the area. And she is a practitioner, and you may have some questions for her, or she may be able to help you as we all go through losing someone that we love. And so we invite you to come this Sunday, 3 p.m., First Baptist of Holly Springs. Program is called A Celebration of Life. I hope you dance. So let me explain what that means, because people are looking kind of funny. There is a movie that was done a few years ago. It was a Tyler Perry movie called The Family That Prays. The Family That Prays. In that movie, Alfred Woodard, the actress Alfred Woodard, has a friend that she has lived with and loved and longed with for all of her life. And that friend dies. And one of the things that they enjoyed doing before she died was dancing. Everyone loves to dance. At some point in your life, you were a dancer. And when the movie is over, at the end of the movie, Gladys Knight sings a song, I Hope You Dance. And that song is to cheer us on and to cheer on those who have left us. I hope you're dancing. I hope you are looking down upon us and you're happy about what you see and you're happy about your life and where you are. And so it is. We're going to have this program Sunday, 3 p.m., First Baptist of Holly Springs. A celebration of life, I hope you dance. We thank God for all of you who are coming, those of you who would like to come. I don't know if we will broadcast this over Facebook Live or not. We may not, or we may or we may not. But it is a special program specifically designed for those who have lost their loved ones. We may not be able to broadcast that one over the Facebook page because it is a personal program, and there are those who will be personal. We want to make sure that everybody's privacy is kept. But anyway, you're invited to come. You're invited to come. Also, we want to remind you that we're coming down to the end of the year. We're almost over. We only have, this is the last Bible study for this month. We won't have another Bible study until the first Tuesday in December. And we have 3 Bible studies in December, and we will be through for 2023. So we want to make sure that you are aware of the Bible study schedule. We're coming down to the end of the year, and we're thanking God for all the Bible studies that we have had this year. If you have missed any, you can go to the Facebook page. All of the Bible studies are there. All of our Bible studies are archived. They will be there for over a year or so. So you can go back at any time and listen to whatever Bible study that you think you have missed over this past year, and you can hear the Bible study that you would like to click on. Now, I'm also told that you may be able to hear some Bible study that we did last year. As I said, they're all archived. They're all there, and usually they stay there about a year, or they could stay there a year and a half or 2 years, for all I know. But you can go back at any time, and you can hear whatever Bible study that you would like to hear, and it would take you directly to that Bible study. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are online. We thank you, God, for this topical discussion tonight. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come across this medium to connect with our people at First Baptist of Holly Springs. We pray now, God, that as we go into our topical discussion tonight, you will give us understanding, that we may be able to understand some of the things that have happened this year, that we may be able to know what thus saith the Lord going forward. So we ask, God, that you will continue to bless those who are sick and those who are shut in, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the rest home. We pray, God, that you will bless the bereaved families. There are a lot of bereaved families in the neighborhoods everywhere. So we ask, God, that you will give them comfort, give them ease as they go through these difficult times. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I said, this is a topical discussion every now and then. I think this is the fourth one we've had this year, we pause from our regular scriptorial Bible study to discuss some things that are happening in the community, in the world, and in the church. I think that it's important for Christians to know more than just the Bible. We're living in a world. We're not living in Bible days, and we certainly are not looking for anything to give us clarity through this life until we get on the other side in Jordan. So we're living in this world, and we have to deal with this world. And while we're here, we need to be able to handle some of the things that we see going on and know that God is still in control regardless of what we see and what we hear. And so it is that we pause, and this is the last one for the year. I think this is the fourth one for the year, topical discussion. We had one earlier on the January 6th riot in Washington, D.C. We had one. We talked about gun violence. We talked about the abortion bill. We talked about the pandemic. We talked about the attendance in churches. We're going to recap some of those same subjects tonight, because a lot of things have happened in 2023. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for greater things in 2024. 2023 has been kind of rough for me. I can't speak for you, but 2023 has been kind of rough for me, and I'm looking for greater things in 2024. And so we want to end this topical discussion series for this year by opening up the lines. I'll be opening up the lines in about 10 minutes. So that you can speak on some of the things that we're going to be talking about. One of the things that we're going to be talking about is the fact that this year we have seen a severe decline in the COVID-19 pandemic. The global health emergency status was reduced in May. We do know that I call COVID-19 now. There are a lot of variants that are out with different names. I think one of them is called Omicron. Then there's the RSV. And I just heard in a day or so, yesterday or so, that there's another variant called the HV1. So there are a lot of variants of this COVID disease that is going around. We do know that it's not over, even though they have dropped the restrictions. But what about you? Are you still wearing your face mask? Are you still washing your hands? Are you still doing social distances? Have you completely let your guard down? Are you still protecting yourself because you know that the pandemic at large is not over? COVID-19 may be over, but there are still other diseases out there, viruses out there that can be caught. And so the question is tonight, what do you think about it? Are you still participating in safety with the cautions that were laid out by the health board this past year? Or have you just completely decided that you're not going to do it anymore, you're not going to wear a mask anymore, you're not going to care about it anymore? So I want to hear your opinion on that. Secondly, this year the Russian invasion of Ukraine has continued with a series of coups and several armed conflicts and political crises that have broken out all over the world. Some have broken out in Africa, some have broken out in the Ukraine. What do you think about these wars that we're sending millions of dollars over to the Ukraine to help them fight the war against Russians? What do you think about this? Billions of dollars are being spent to fight foreign wars, and yet there are people in America who don't have groceries and don't have proper health care. On that same note, there's been an escalation of war in the world. Just recently, Hamas has attacked Israel. And now there are over 100,000 who have fled the region because of the war that is going on with Hamas. And with we do know that in the Bible, that we talk about wars and rumors of wars, but there's a different thing when you actually see it. And because of the news that we have and the social media and all the access that we have for things that are going on in the world, we can actually see war going on in real time. It's one thing to hear about a war, but when you start seeing people being bombed and people bleeding in the street, buildings are torn down and babies are crying, how does that affect you? What does that do to you? Are you a person that is affected by that, or are you just not worried about it because it's not happening here? Well, the sad part about that is war may start in one place, but it can spread throughout the whole world. There have already been attacks on Jewish people in America and Muslim people in America. It's not just going to be isolated to one particular region in the world. And so we got to be careful that we make sure that we are looking out and watching and knowing what's going on in the world. I tell you, I've watched the news so much now, I don't even want to look at it anymore because I'm watching bombs burst everywhere. It seems like there's a war everywhere. Not only that, we have things that are happening in the various communities. In the Norfolk Southern Railroad train turned over in Ohio, and hundreds of people had to evacuate their homes, evacuate their cars, because it released the hydrogen chloride into the air, into the atmosphere. And people with respiratory problems were having serious problems trying to breathe during that time. It lasted for 270 days. And we want to know what you think about these things that are happening in the world, these tornadoes, these hurricanes, these things that are happening all over the world. How do we respond to that? Not only that, it seems like our government is dysfunctional. Representative Kevin McCarthy, whose slim majority in the House of Representatives was unable to outbeat a far-right rebellion, and he was tossed out of his chambers. A battle between the Freedom Caucus and McCarthy has been at the heart of debt ceiling crisis. We got a shutdown coming in any day now. What happens when the government shuts down? What are we going to do when the government shuts down? Not only that, it has been reported that since the pandemic, it seems that church attendance is down all over the world. And experts are saying that it's not likely that it will come back up unless you have special programs such as Christmas or Easter or Mother's Day, unless it's a funeral or a wedding. People are not coming to the house of God. It seems as if they have fallen away because of one reason or another. People are not coming into the house of the Lord. So there are a lot of things that we need to talk about: parental rights, education. What is going on with our schools? Do you think our children will be properly educated? Do you think that they're learning what they need to learn in order to come out in this world? You know, and I know, that we're living in a fast-paced world, and if children are not able to read, write, and arithmetic, amen, and as Jeffro can say, cipher, if they're not able to do all of that, they're going to be in bad shape coming in this coming world. If they're not able to work on a computer, if they're not able to go into a computer, and because schools now are online, you have to do your homework online, you have to submit your homework online, you have to turn in papers online. And if you can't do that, or you don't have the material or the wherewithal to do that, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to those students who are not able to do that? Are they going to fall behind? Are they not? What's going to happen with that? What are we going to say, or what are we going to do about that? And one more thing, and there may be some others that you may want to talk about. We have had a rash of mass shootings. We've had this for the last few years now. We've had a rash of mass shootings. Mass shooting that occurred, one particular mass shooting occurred in a house in Enid, Utah. Eight members of a single family, three adults and five children were killed in a mass shooting. And the mass shooting, an argument started over a welfare check. It seemed like one family member got upset about a welfare check and shot everybody in the house. There was another mass shooting that occurred at a dance studio in Monterey Park, California, after a New Year's celebration. 11 people were killed, 9 more were injured. The perpetrator committed suicide the following day. Then, of course, we've had criminal proceedings for those who participated in the January 6th Capitol attack. Four oath keepers, in addition to persons who laid their feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, were convicted. And of course, we know that Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked in his own home. Amen. Someone broke in their house and attacked an 80-something-year-old man in his house. So there are a lot of things that are happening in this world that we got to look at as we end this this year. If you have something that you would like to add, we can talk about that as well. But I'm going to open the lines early tonight so that there would be those who would like to hear or like to talk about some of the things that have been on your mind. Maybe something has been on your mind that you have not talked about or you haven't heard anyone else talk about this year. And don't forget, one other thing, China sent a spy balloon across the United States earlier this year. It floated across Canada and into the United States. What's going on? Is China spying on us? Are they hacking our servers? People's bank accounts are being hacked. People's Facemail accounts are being hacked. It seems like there is no security anywhere. So I want to talk about that tonight and other things. So I'm going to open the lines so that some of you can express your opinions about certain things that are going on. I'm going to start. Let's see. I'm going to open these lines up so that people can have an opportunity to speak on what's going on. I'm going to start with Deaconess Rainey. You're number one on the list. Are you there tonight? How are you tonight? Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line? 5088, are you on the line? Okay, let me move to another number. I'll come back to that. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line? 5803. Are you on the line?
Oops, sorry. I still had you on mute. I was answering and I had you on mute. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sherry. Yes, I'm on the line.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. How's everyone?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good. Yeah, there are so many things, as you've stated, that's going on in the world. The war being one of the biggest ones really bothers me. I don't know what to do about it, but it really bothers me. But I absolutely agree. There are so many people that's hungry here, so many people that don't have even a place to lay their heads, you know, the homeless and all. And we spend billions and billions of dollars in these wars. It's very sad. I always say, I don't know, I work in the court system, and I always say they will open up facilities for dogs and cats. I know that's a little off on the war thing, but for dogs and cats, but we get a lot of people that come through that they keep saying are trespassing, but really they're homeless and they have nowhere to go. And instead of trying to open facilities for these people to live, they rather keep charging them every week over and over and over and over. And it's just a cycle to keep going. But again, to say we put so much money into other countries and we just don't take care of our own here at home, it's really sad. We'd rather buy goods and things from other countries instead of putting factories here and making things in the U.S. a lot of times, things that would cultivate more money here in the United States to keep people from being homeless, things like that. But the war is very sad, and, you know, I know there are places where, yes, we should help, you know, things that we should help with, but some things they may need to fight on their own. I'm not trying to be mean there, but maybe they need to fight it out on their own. I don't know the answer to it, but, it's really sad that we spend and spend so much overseas and not even here in the United States.
Thank you. Yeah, there's so much going on. And there's really nothing we could do about it. We can't solve any world problems. But I wanted to ask you a question. You talked about the how do you think this war is going to affect us in America? How do you think that's going to affect us other than the money that's being used now?
Not in a good way. I think it's, one, going to drive up prices even more again, you know, even more.
Yeah. In particular, the oil and gas. Yeah. I can see that coming already. By the first of the year, I'm sure that will, you know, they're going to say that it's going to be hard to get oil or gas or whatever, and gas prices are going to go sky high. And not only that, one of the other things that's going to affect us is our own security, in that Jewish schools and Jewish synagogues are being attacked And, you know, these people who are attacking, they really don't care who they injure or who they kill. Thank you so much. I might come back to you before we close out tonight, but thank you so much for your input. Let's go to, well, let me check back with Deaconess Rainey. Are you there, Deaconess Rainey? Are you there? Let's move on. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, how are you tonight?
All right. I had you on my Bluetooth from a headset. I'm multitasking as normal.
Okay. Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah, it's just, this year has been a very, it's been a trying time. I think, you know, the church is, I said it in other sessions, the church is under attack. I like to address the attendance.
Okay, go ahead.
I just think people... because you're coming into church, you know, where you where two or three gather there, he be also, I think folks have missed that point and have relied on self-study. But how do you know when you have misinterpreted something or if you, how do you know that your, I mean, just your understanding is not in line and track with what the word is saying. And people say, oh, I can just do the Bible at home, but you can't just do the Bible at home. It's almost like you try to replicate a steak from Sullivan's Steakhouse or a steak from these high-end steakhouses. You try to do it at home, it doesn't turn out right. I'd use that as an analogy. But, you know, where it says, how can you hear without a preacher? So we are in trouble in that regard. Even if folks are utilizing Facebook or utilizing these media platforms to go to church, I think that's a crutch that is actually crippling the Christian. In the sense, I think it's being abused. Do I think we should take it away? No, because there are people who are sick. There are people who are infirm who cannot make it to the church. You know, as we, you and I can. But when we look at these things, all the death that has happened within First Baptist, I use First Baptist this year. There's been a lot of death in this church in the last year and two. I think people need to wake up, I think people need to come together and be that knit. Like it was back in the 60s when we were, everybody had a common, well, we still have that same common enemy. It's just camouflage now.
You're right.
A little better. When people were stronger in the community, but it's just that, I think as a whole, we have fallen off that same, this, I have referenced a preacher, about a month and a half ago, about the guy who hunts the white, he's the white pastor out in I can't even think, Duncan, North Carolina, Duncan, which is outside of Fuquay. And we talk all the time. They're having the same issues. It's not just the black church. It's the white church. Mm-hmm. It's the black church. Mm-hmm. It's the Indian. It's all these churches. The people are not interested. Are not interested in attending church anymore. I think. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
You brought up an interesting point a minute ago. You said, how do you know if you're misinterpreting, if you're not in church or in part of the Bible study? Now, do you think people actually care whether they misinterpret or not? Do you think that's something that they care about?
I don't think they do, because I think they're using the same tool set that they to maneuver through life, to maneuver as they are doing on the job, on what they know, what is how they've been trained on the job as they're using the Bible. And the Bible does not work. It is a living book.
Mm-hmm.
They're just using the tool sets that they use to survive in the world, but you can't do that because this is just for that. That tool set is just for this world. We got to prepare ourselves.
Yeah.
And those like yourself who have been trained and who have been, you know, who are in tune with what God is saying, those are these are the leaders we need to listen to, because the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher?
That's right. Absolutely. The statistics show that unless something big is happening in a church, people just don't want to come. Now, nothing brings the people to the church quicker than something being like a music program or a food offering.
Food.
A funeral. People who have never been to church in their life come to a funeral. They come to a wedding.
Yeah.
But it seems that that's the only time that they have church on their minds is when mm-hmm. something catastrophic happens, when there's a hurricane or a big tornado come to a particular area. You'll find that area mm-hmm. is overloaded the next Sunday with people in the church. It seems as if
right.
people only use the church for when they want to use the church, you know, basically.
Right.
The church
right.
is not important to them unless something is happening to them. And when something
right.
happens to them, then, of course, the first place they want to run to is the house of God. So you're absolutely right,
right
with that. I appreciate your observation on that. Thank you so much for your input.
Yes, sir.
Trustee Mangum, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. Well, I just wanted to say something about the mask. You know, I'm still cautious. I'm still cautious about wearing my mask, and especially if I'm in an environment like a funeral,
uh-huh.
I put my mask on. Also, at a program of a lot of people there, I wear my mask, especially if I hear, you know, like people coughing
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, getting on back to this attendance that Deacon Fuller just got to elaborating on. I agree that church attendance would not revert back to pre-pandemic levels because people got so comfortable staying at home, looking at the live stream. But
mm-hmm.
to me, you know, live stream is for individuals that can't come to the house of God, like, you know, homebound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And individuals that want to come in person and want to go back and listen, look at it again later, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So live stream, I think it's a good outreach ministry, you know, for
mm-hmm.
people like that. But
mm-hmm.
our people just gotten so, I just say, comfortable. But another word that I use is lazy.
Mhm. Mhm. Mm-hmm.
Get up and stay in their comfortable clothes and drink a cup of coffee and, you know, why the live stream is on and doing things like that. But I just like coming to the house of God because it's just it's different.
Right.
To me, it's just a different.
Mm-hmm. Right. People want to be in their own environment and go to church at the same time without actually being in church. I want to ask you something about, you talked about the mask, still wearing the mask. Have you heard of this new variant called the HV1? Have you heard of that yet?
I haven't heard of that one.
Well, I just heard about it yesterday. It was on the CNN. It was on CNN yesterday.
Oh, what?
It's called HV1. It's a new variant. What do you think is going on with these viruses? It seems to me that they're changing on their own. something is different with a virus, because these viruses are not dying out. You know, usually a virus comes, it lasts, then it dies out. But these viruses that we have now, they change into something else, and they change into something else.
These viruses, you know, whenever the medical people detect a virus, they just give it a name.
Right. But I tell you, it is very important. What about people who still don't think it's real? People, you know, there were people who didn't think the COVID was real. They didn't take a shot. They didn't go to the doctor. They didn't believe any of that. They thought it was some type of government plot. What do you think of that? What do you think of those people?
Well, I really think that God gives us five senses, and He expects us to use them, and that's why He gives the doctors, you know, and these medical people knowledge, pass it on to us so that we will be educated to these things, and then it's like up to us if you want to take the shot. I know plenty of people that said it. Now, I'm not going to take the shot. They ain't putting that stuff in me.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, that stuff ain't right. I'm not putting it in me. So
mm-hmm.
I just leave them alone. I just know what I'm going to do.
Right. That's right. And that's why these variants, these different names for viruses, is so important and so dangerous, because I don't think people are taking it serious anymore. A lot of them didn't take it serious in the beginning, and they're not taking it serious anymore, and they're getting caught off guard. They'll say, "I just got a cold. I got a little cold," and before you know it, they're in the hospital. They got pneumonia somewhere, you know. So I think that you're absolutely right. With that. Thank you. Deaconess Rainey, are you there? 5088, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
Good. You'd like to talk about something?
I heard one of the things about the mask. Yeah, the conversation you and Trustee was having about the mask. Yeah,
right.
It's still a lot of people that don't believe in the virus, but I know I have some relatives that they really didn't believe in it, and some of them actually got it, and then when they came back, they was believers in after they had got it, and maybe that's what it takes. It's going to take for some people to really catch it and then realize it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, a good way to go, but some people may take that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still wear your mask?
Yeah, I still wear my mask around. You know, if I was to go out around a crowd of people, I still do wear my mask.
Right, right. Yeah. Whenever you're around people you're not familiar with, that is the smartest thing to do. People around the house or people that you've been around normally, it may not be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you go into a large group of people, or people that you don't even know, people that you've never seen before.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
You don't know where these people come from,
and,
you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we have relatives that may come from out of town, like for the holidays, and, you know, may just come down have been down for summer breaks and stuff like that. I ask them to wear a mask because we haven't been out to get flu shots or any of that right now. So
right.
We don't know what they have from another town to come in, you know.
That's right.
So I asked them to wear a mask since my mom is, you know, ill. And then definitely don't want to bring nothing in to her.
One of the things that we talked about with that also is the fact that, you know, whenever we find ourselves in a situation where we're real sick, we need to go directly to the doctor. We need to go to the doctor, you know, instead of trying to self-medicate. You know, I'll take some NyQuil or something like that. It could be something heavier than that you need to have, you know.
It could be something
so,
heavy. Yes,
right,
I had a niece that came by, and she said she had a bad cold. She wasn't going to come in. She had a bad cold. Have you took the test, the COVID test? She said, no, we don't have any. And so I gave her two that we had, because we have a stack that we had got from the health department. And she took it, and later on she called me back and told me, no, she didn't. It didn't test positive. But I was glad she went ahead and took it instead of just, you know, steady coughing cough. She hadn't been to the doctor, but she was steady having these coughing spells.
Right. And people who have underlying conditions have to be extra careful mm-hmm. because, you know, what might affect mm-hmm. one might not affect the other. You could be a carrier mm-hmm. of the virus. It might not even affect you, but you can go around somebody mm-hmm. who has a condition that it might affect, you know, so we have to be be watchful about that as well. Thank you so much, Trustee Deaconess Rainey, for your input on that. I want to go back to Sherry. Sherry, are you still there?
Yes, Sherry, sir. I'm here.
You talked about earlier about the war. How do you think this thing is going to play out? Netanyahu, who is the spokesman over there in Israel, says that they're not going to do a ceasefire. In other words, they're going to keep on bombing these people. How do you think this thing is going to play out?
Wow, that's a really hard one. I haven't been watching a lot of it, I do have to say. I know it's going on, but I don't watch a lot of it because TV has become so negative mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. much going on that I haven't listened to a lot of it. But I honestly can't say how it's going to play out, but it seems like it's just going on and on, and as soon as it seems like it may be slowing down, you know, war in one place starts up somewhere else. You know, I've questioned, are we getting ready to go into a World War III? Sometimes it seems that way. Everybody's just fighting and arguing and over something.
Right, right.
I pray that it doesn't go into World War III, but sometimes you just think with all that's going on, it just could be.
That's right. That's right. And you also know that not only are we supplying money, we also are supplying weapons. So we are actually a part of the war.
We are
supplying weapons to Ukraine. And we also supply weapons to Israel. So you can't say that our hands are clean, that, you know, we don't have anything to do with that. You know, our money and our taxpayer-paid weapons are going over there. You know, we pay for those weapons. Our taxes buy those bombs and those tanks and airplanes that are being used. Our taxes pay for that. So we got to also understand that's going on as well. So we're losing doubly in these wars, and I hope that it will end soon. But then again, when we read the book of Revelation, we realize that the war, as you say, World War III or Armageddon or whatever way you want to call it, will start right in that very same region. That's where it'll all break out. And I think we're seeing the beginning of that right now. It's been brewing for a long time. But I think now that these people don't have anywhere, even when the war ends, where are the Palestinians going to go? There's nothing standing. All the buildings are gone. All the homes are gone. Where are these people going to go? If they stop the war today, you still got almost 1 million people who have nowhere to go. There's nowhere that you can't go back home. There's nothing there. So the war has already taken its toll, and there is something that's going to reverberate around the world. I think we are going to be affected. Every country is going to be affected by this as well. Anything else you'd like to add on that?
No, sir. I think you said it there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Deacon Fuller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Deacon Fuller, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
What about these mass shootings we have? What in the world going on? Why is everybody shooting at everybody? Why? First of all, why can I go out and buy a rifle used for war and use it on the streets of America? Why do you think that's? What do you think is behind that?
Why repeat that again? Why? What was the question?
You know, AR-15, the rifle, the AR-15. That mm-hmm. weapon was made to fight in wars. It was made to fight mm-hmm. in battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. Why is it that I'm able to go out and buy one of them and shoot folk in the neighborhood with it? What is that about? Why are we able to do that?
Because the folks who are always all these gun enthusiasts mm-hmm. feel that they feel that their rights are being attacked, and there's a bunch of gun enthusiasts. I as you all know, I am a hunter. I've seen these guys.
Wait a minute. You don't hunt with AR-15, do you?
No, I do not.
There's nothing wrong with hunting. I don't talk about hunting rifles. I'm talking about AR-15. You can fire 100 bullets a second.
But I know guys who have them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I say to them, I say, why do you want to hunt with this gun? Why? It only takes one clean shot. Why? These guys are enthusiasts. It's like a drug to them to have these guns. They got hundreds of guns stockpiled. They buy ammunition all the time. And that is embedded deep into the society because of how we are a violent society. The way that America was conceptualized was violence. They kill Indians. They got rid of all of it. They did all types of warfare using blankets and stuff. So a gun is just a simple thing to them. It's something that is embedded within their culture. And to be honest, there are black people who have AR-15s too. I'm like, what do you need an AR-15 for? I mean, you all it takes is one bullet to. I mean, why have it? I think, right. but again, is what I'm saying is just like these guys with Carson. You know, these guys. I use Willis Lunsford for example because I love Willis. He's got a fixed up 79 truck that he goes to car shows and everything, and there's a bunch of other people who flock who have those types of cars and stuff mm-hmm. that they'd like to show off. Well, it's the same with the gun enthusiasts. They have these forums about how to manipulate guns so they become from semi-automatic to automatic. And the scary part of that is it's only one little thing that keeps it within the gun that keeps it from going both ways, you know, and that you can adjust in the gun. And some people know how to do that. But these are fanatics. They're enthusiasts. They're like the equivalent. I can say for those who have like you know fixed up cars and they put them in car shows and stuff. It's the same thing to them, but it's a dangerous mentality and a dangerous thing.
Amen. Thank you.
It's embedded in the society, but it boils down to this society because we are founded on violence.
Yeah, that's true. Wild West days and all of that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Trustee Mangum, we got about 5 minutes. Let me ask you a question. How do you think God looks at all of this that's going on in the world? What do you think? I know we can't think for God. We certainly don't know the mind of God, but how do you see? What do you think God thinks of all of this that is happening in the world today?
I think he is very dissatisfied with the way that they are doing on this earth that he built for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. When you see elderly people being attacked, they were showing some clips of elderly people being attacked. Well, I've talked about Nancy Pelosi's husband who was attacked. This man was 80-some years old. Somebody mm-hmm. broke in his house and hit him in the head with a hammer. There was a clip on the YouTube of someone walking around New York pushing old folk down. You know, it's just evil, just evilness. You know, and I think as you said before, God is displeased with that, And we know for sure anytime God is displeased in the past, in the Bible, anytime God is displeased, the people had to deal with that. They had to suffer behind that. God sent many cases. He sent plagues. He sent diseases. He sent locusts. He sent all kinds of things to punish them because of their unrighteousness, you know. And I agree with you. I think God is displeased. And I think a lot of the things that are happening in the world today is behind that. You know, we have to pay for, we as a people have to pay for that. You may not do it. I may not do it. But because we're all in the same world together, we all have to suffer for the deeds of others. And we all have to go through because someone else has done the same thing. We, as Deacon Fuller has said, anytime you have a government that allow you to buy those type of weapons, then you can expect for people to get shot. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, if you can go out and buy a gun that can kill 100 people in a minute, you can expect for some people to do that. And another thing, and I want to close with that, let's quit blaming it on people with mental problems, you know, because there are a lot of mental people with mental problems who don't hurt nobody. So we can't blame people mental problems for these things that they're doing. Some of this stuff is just pure evil, and we need to deal with it as it is because there's just some evilness in the world. I think we have to come to terms with that. We have to believe and understand that there's goodness in the world and there is evil in the world. And we have to realize that we live in a world that is governed by a lot of that. And I think if we do that, we're able to comprehend some of the things that we do. We pray that God will continue to bless us anyhow, regardless of what we are, what we have done as we go forward. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to say? Okay. Well, I thank y'all for being on the line tonight. Go right ahead.
Pastor, I got one thing about the mask thing, and this is a scary
right
thing.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know, I travel all the time, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And out of all the folks on that plane of 150, 200 folks who are boarding the plane, I'm the only one with the mask on, and the airline stewardess. Yeah.
Wow.
This is a regular thing.
So people have just stopped wearing masks. You know, they don't even care.
They stop.
Wow.
They have stopped. They sure have.
Okay. I guess they think it's over. That's arrogant to think that, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And just the fact that you for myself, I had to come around my father. I had to protect myself so I can protect my father. You know, because
that's right.
Immunocompromised.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We all have to protect, you know, our loved ones as well.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything else they'd like to add? Well, I thank all of you for being online tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this topical study. I thank you for those who participated tonight on the topics that we talked about. We ask, God, that we know that there's nothing that we can do to solve the problems of this world today, but only you, God, can do that. And so we pray to you. We ask you for answers. We ask you to clarity. We ask you to come and intercede in our affairs, that wherever we're wrong, that you will correct it. Wherever we're broken, you will fix it. Whatever we are doing wrong, God, you will teach us and show us how to do right. We ask, God, that you will intercede in our affairs, that you will have your way in our lives, that you will do something, that you will allow something to happen that will bring mankind back to the understanding of your love and of your kindness. And God, let them know that the best way to come is to come unto you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you're giving us right now. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do for us tomorrow. But we pray now, God, that you will give us a clarity of mind and heart to love one another and to treat one another in the right respect. We ask now, God, that you will bless the church. The church is going through difficult times. We ask, God, that you will uphold the house of God everywhere as people are leaving the church and some people are coming, some people are leaving, and some people are just plain confused. We ask, God, that you will give them understanding in their minds that they may know what is right in their heart and in their mind. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all tonight. Thank y'all.
Amen.
For being on the line.
Amen.
Thank y'all.
Amen.
Y'all have a good week.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll see you Sunday. And Friday night is the business meeting, Friday night, 7 o'clock, business meeting. If not, we will see you Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a good night. Don't
good
forget
night.
Sunday afternoon.
Have a good
morning.
Night.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. Have a good night.
Good night.
You too. Good night.
Last story.